Good morning, Wisconsin. So let's pour that coffee and talk to some experts about what's going on in Milwaukee, Madison, Washington, and beyond. Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's the Political Power Hour on WTMJ. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Should we talk about the government?
Welcome, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm not wearing a stick of green. Hell, St. Patrick wasn't even Irish, so why do we get all worried about the details? In studio on this fine St. Patrick's Day morning is my friend from the Institute for Reform and Government, C.J. Safer. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Also, no green on you either.
It's my daughter's birthday. She turns 5.
Shout out.
Vanessa, happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
I focus on that.
That is cool. That's always a big one. 5 years old.
It's when they start caring about birthday parties.
Right.
And it's always a little more stressful once they turn 5.
So that's a lot of fun. So happy birthday, Vanessa. All right. We're going to talk about education this hour because we got Brittany Kinzer, who's the candidate for Department of Public Instruction Superintendent. That's at 9:35. But you're going to sort of tee up this conversation. Let's start. This is for the voters out there, all the people listening who are going, first off, here's the reality. A lot of people not really focused on this race. A lot of attention on the Supreme Court race, all the ad money going there, millions of dollars. This one's sort of getting some attention. I noticed an increase in ads this weekend. So let's baseline it for people. This job, Superintendent of Public Instruction, that department, what do they do? What do they do in Wisconsin that people can understand and identify with day to day?
The state superintendent of public instruction is a constitutional officer in the Wisconsin Constitution, elected in the spring. It runs the Department of Public Instruction. So basically, it runs the state education agency. We actually are we're one of the only states in the country that has this setup where we elect a head of the DPI.
Is that a good thing?
We'll see. We'll see in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But the issue is there's not a lot of checks and balances, right? There's no board. The governor doesn't really have any oversight. The state superintendent of public instruction has a constitutional authority to oversee public instruction. So essentially think of the DPI as like overseeing the education system in Wisconsin. Now they can't write laws. That's the legislature and the governor, but what they can do is they interpret the laws. They're the agency that says, okay, you know, legislature, governor, you pass laws with school choice, you pass laws with apprenticeships, you pass laws with teachers. We're now going to implement it how we see fit. And that's huge because, you know, you can basically say the DPI has a wide range of latitude with interpreting things pertaining to teacher licensing, pertaining to things with standards, which we'll
discuss. Testing standards, yep.
Test scores, report cards. So it's a lot of power. And they also just, again, they oversee the K-12 system. So all issues and complaints really goes right to the DPI.
If you look at the head of agencies in Wisconsin, whatever agency you want to talk about, resources to like the business development, all that stuff, how powerful is that superintendent position when you talk about real power impacting kids' education?
It's the most powerful agency position. It's one of the most powerful public official positions, period. They have constitutional authority that can't be taken away. They have a lot of ability to really set the vision for K-12.
Is it a one-person show, though? Can they literally make policy and just have their staff implement it?
What they have the ability to do is they can do rules. They can interpret state law. They also have some powers already on the books, right? They can withhold state aid if a school is underperforming. They have the ability under state law to really to interpret in a wide range of, hey, this is what we want the report card to look like. They can set standards, make it higher, make it lower, which we will discuss. And they can also be like, they have a massive bully pulpit, right? If they want to go and cast a vision for K-12 for the state of Wisconsin, they're a force to be reckoned with in the legislature and with the governor's office.
I know IRG, Institute for Reform and Government, has done polling on this. Let's take a quick break here because I want to spend some time on what your polling suggests voters actually care about when it comes to K-12. C.J. Safer, the head, the CEO, the what's your title over there, president? Of the Institute for Reform and Government. Always a great guest. He's been on all the programs here on WTMJ. Quick break here. We'll follow up after that. Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. CJ Safer, president of the Institute for Reform and Government, in studio this Monday morning. Don't forget, candidate for superintendent of Department of Public Instruction, Brittany Kinzer, will join me at 9:35 on the phone. All right, I know you've done extensive polling on this. I looked through that polling this morning. Reviewing that, not to get too into the weeds, but what do voters seem to be saying about what's important K-12?
Yeah, IRG recently conducted a poll. I think next to Charles Franklin, one of the better polls in the state of Wisconsin. We do a very thorough job diving into not just the horse race, but the why. So, you know, we asked, you know, who do people prefer, Brittany Kinzer or Jill Underley? Brittany, you know, at a 2-point lead within the margin of error, vast majority were undecided, which is not surprising. But there's a couple things that are really fascinating. First off, people are not satisfied with the direction of the K-12 schools. So last segment, we talked about, you know, the bully pulpit, you know, the head of the DPI, they cast a vision for education. Well, 50% of voters say that K-12 education in Wisconsin is going in the wrong direction. Only 25% said it's going in the right direction. That, I think, is why Jill Underley actually had a liberal union primary challenger just a couple months ago. Because I think bipartisan disagreement with where our K-12 schools are going. And primarily that's because they see a few things. One is, they see a lot of money going into schools and not a lot of results in return. 54% said no more increase in taxes to go to schools. Not to say that they don't want money spent on schools, because obviously schools cost money.
They want it spent properly.
But they want it spent properly. They're a little fed up with the results, with, you know, where we're going, how we can produce students that are ready for the workforce or for college. In Milwaukee, we asked statewide voters, like, what do you want to do with Milwaukee public schools? It's been in the news for the last 12 months. And almost 50%, so 46% want MPS dissolved. And that's talking about voters across the state. That's not something that the DPI will be able to do unilaterally. However, it's a sign to me that voters are, again, just really unhappy with the direction of schools. And it's why school choice is polled so popular in this poll. So when voters, you know, as I said, Brittany was up 22% to 20% over Jill Underley. But we did some message testing. When we told voters that Brittany was in favor of school choice, that her support went from 22% to 56%. A majority of people, bipartisan, supported her over Jill Underley.
I get this question a lot whenever we talk about choice and MPS and education generally. Is the goal of choice advocates to eliminate public school?
Well, the goal of IRG is to ensure that every single child has access to a high-quality education. So every child in the state of Wisconsin should be able to go to a high-quality school. And that's going to look different in different types of regions. That's, you know, in Milwaukee, that's going to be, we have to ensure that there is really strong sectors, MPS, private voucher, public charter. Out in rural Wisconsin, we got to do dramatically more to improve our rural schools where there's just not a ton of options. So that's kind of where I see everything going when people say that they're in favor of school choice. Obviously, I can't speak for, you know, every school choice proponent in the state of Wisconsin.
This seems like an obvious question. Given the power of this position, I guess it makes sense. Does it matter who controls the Department of Public Instruction in the state of Wisconsin, given the rules that we have right now, given the laws that we have with the land and how education is set up?
So 67% of voters, we asked, like, what do you want the DPI to actually do? 67% of voters say they want a DPI to increase academic quality and increase standards. That, to me, is the massive backlash from the story in the last six months of Jill Underley watering down the test scores, watering down the standards to make it seem like more people can read, more people can do math when they really can't.
This is an opinion question, so you can not answer it or answer it. Why do you think Jill Underly, Department of Public Instruction, watered down those testing standards? What do they win by that?
So Jill Underly, to understand her is to understand the DPI. The DPI has been long captured by the teachers'
unions,
always. Like, I mean, as far as anyone can really remember, we have not really had an ed reformer, an outside change agent, someone to shake up the status quo. It's captured by the unions, so they kind of really are just probably, they really focus on the progressive mindset. And I think, you know, in my opinion, the emails that we obtained, the emails that Quinton Claibon in our office obtained, the stories that we broke, shows that the DPI was really concerned, and they really wanted people to look better than they were actually doing. I think a part of that is they wanted to buck the trend nationally and to show that, you know, yes, Wisconsin kids are reading. We are doing actually better. And that's a philosophy. Now, when you look across the state, you have, you know, Governor Glenn Youngkin in Virginia. He's increasing standards. He's actually saying, hey, the status quo is not acceptable. Let's increase the standards. Let's increase the cutoff scores so we can really push students to be doing as well as they possibly can. Wisconsin, we do everything backwards, and that's really what we saw in the DPI in the last 12 months.
You teed up the conversation about Milwaukee Public Schools, and there's a lot of things we could talk about. SROs, there's some news today, apparently, that this is the deadline, and we'll see what happens with that. The Judge Borowski has been very clear that he's running out of patience, and I credit him for taking that stance. Whether it's a bad audit, and we find out that there's a lot of financial problems, leadership, I should say lack thereof, school board, strong influence of the teachers union. You mentioned the term dissolve before. Voters across the state said, maybe we should dissolve it. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but what is, in your mind, and you've studied this, and one of your great staff, Quentin Claibon, is probably digs deeper than maybe anybody else in the state on what's going on in MPS. What's the solution here? Because I am tired of hearing these stories that we can't teach our kids. And I got in trouble, I told you this story during the break, for saying, you know, maybe we are doing it wrong. In struggling school districts, we strip out all the, you know, the cool stuff, and we focus on the basics. And I know that's not great for some parents to hear, but we need these kids to graduate. And if we're not doing that, we're not getting, it doesn't matter what other classes they take. I know that's an extreme position. I'll defend it if you want me to. What is the answer for MPS in your mind?
So when you look at real standards across the country, the NAEP test scores that looks at similarly situated students in all the different cities, Milwaukee performs way behind Detroit, Houston, Miami, Chicago. Black students in Milwaukee at MPS in reading, they are outperformed by students in those cities who are black. Some of those students, special education students in those cities, outperform black students in Milwaukee. I mean, we have a reading and writing crisis in Milwaukee. So the real solutions are going to come from the classroom. How do we get better teachers? How do we get more energetic teachers into the classrooms, every single classroom? How do we get better leadership? We have a new superintendent at MPS.
Started this Saturday.
Just started. Pray for her success. But at the end of the day, look, we're electing MPS board members are up for re-election in a couple weeks. There's hardly any opponents. I mean, most of these people are running unopposed, which is almost mind-blowing given that the, you know, real trauma that's happening in the district. You have enrollment is going down. So, you know, you kind of really get concerned for the future, not to mention right now that they can't really pass a financial audit. So back up, the state superintendent of public instruction has a lot of authority to not just withhold aid, but they can also go in and intervene on really low performing schools, which could very well mean going into Milwaukee public schools. Right now, Jill Underly hasn't done that. She really hasn't shown the real need or the real concern to really go into Milwaukee and say, hey, right now we have the lowest performing school district in the entire country. And that's a crisis that really requires leadership and intervention.
CJ Safer, Institute for Reform and Government. Let's talk about it. He mentioned Jill Underly, and we're going to be talking to Brittany Kinzer at 9:35. State of the race, what CJ thinks might happen. That's all coming up next on 620 WTMJ. I only got a couple minutes left with my friend CJ Safer from the Institute for Reform in Government. Let's go. State of the race. Underly, Kinzer, how do you see it?
I mentioned before, status quo favors Underly, right? So Underly, you know, it's a position that's always been held by the teachers' union-picked person, Tony Evers, now Jill Underly. You know, she probably thinks she's winning, right? That's why she's not doing debates. She's really,
and to be fair, we have asked her campaign to have her come on the show.
She should come on. She doesn't really, she's not doing interviews. She's really not doing a whole lot.
No.
Which I think is really sad because of the numbers we mentioned before. Look, the reality is we went through the poll and, people are not happy. The majority is not happy with the direction of the school system. They want major reforms. Their majority is in favor of school choice, really going in and intervening into MPS and really trying to fix it. They want money that follows the student. I mean, it is we are becoming a ed reform electorate, which I think is very concerning for Underly and really makes there is a pathway for Brittany to win because I think the voters agree with her. Now, who's going to turn out in this weird spring race? It's going to be high turnout because of the state Supreme Court. But are they going to keep on voting for the state superintendent of public instruction? I don't know. They should because it's an awfully important race, and K-12 is awfully important in the state of Wisconsin.
Real quick, like 10 seconds, do you think, given the state of federal government where they're revolutionizing everything they do, will we see something like that in education in Wisconsin if Kinzer wins?
She's certainly talking about it. I think there's a really good opportunity. I mean, look, she's running as a change agent. We just haven't had that in Wisconsin yet. So she's a unique candidate. But I think these are really interesting times in Wisconsin politics.
I think they call that opportunity for Brittany Kinzer, who will be my guest on this program in about 5 minutes or so. CJ Safer, always appreciate it. Yeah. We are scheduled to be joined by Brittany Kinzer. She's a candidate for superintendent, Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin, running against incumbents, or current, I should say, superintendent of public instruction, Jill Underly. And if you don't know the name Brittany Kinzer, because obviously this is not a race that probably gets the attention it deserves, given how much import education has in the state of Wisconsin. Kinzer is an education consultant, former special ed teacher, principal. I think she was in nonprofits for a while. Here's a quote from her that I like. And as I said, we're waiting for her to phone in. We must prioritize reading, writing, math, and science to provide the foundation for meaningful careers and bright future. I just said that like 10 minutes ago. And I realize that this is somewhat controversial because we love to package education out with all the extra stuff, all the, you know, the things that kids love to take, some of the cooking classes, and not that that stuff's not important. I'm not saying that. But bottom line for me is that you have to have a basic core of education where kids can graduate from high school. All right, joining us on the hotline is candidate for superintendent of public instruction, Brittany Kinzer. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. And I just spent a half hour talking about education with my previous guest. So I'm going to just get to it real quick. So this is not a race that I guess a lot of people pay attention to. Maybe they, of course they should. But I want you to introduce yourself because I think people need to know who you are. I gave a little bit of your background. Tell us who Brittany Kinzer is.
Brittany Kinzer, I have been in education for 25 years. I knew since I was 14 I wanted to be a special education teacher. So I started off as a special ed teacher in the classroom for 10 years in Chicago public schools, then worked at the district level for a few years. And then since then I worked in public charter schools for 10 years, and I opened up a award-winning school here in Wisconsin. And then I was a CEO of an education advocacy nonprofit group here in Milwaukee. And now I'm running an initiative called 95 Wisconsin. And 95 Wisconsin stands for the fact that we know from research that 95% of children can learn how to read well enough to go to college or have a career or get a meaningful job or master a trade if they are taught using the science of reading and phonics. However, right now, sadly, we're in a reading crisis where we only have 3 out of 10 children who are reading well enough to attend college or have a career. And in Milwaukee, we have the worst results for our Black children, with only 5% of children who are reading.
So what would you do to change that? What standards would you use? What ideas would you use to improve education in Wisconsin?
So, like, with my reading initiative, I wanted to spread this throughout Wisconsin. This is actually what got me into the race, because it's the one-on-one tutoring for kids who have fallen behind. We know that works. And we also know teaching phonics in the early grades is essential for our children. And when Jill Underly lowered the standards to cover up the reality of the situation, that's when I knew I needed to get in the race. So right away, I would restore our high standards because our kids deserve so much better, and then ensure that our teachers are getting the support they need to be able to teach phonics in the classrooms. You know, specifically for Milwaukee, I've said multiple times I'll have an office here. I do not, unlike Jill Underly, I don't see DPI as just a regulatory agency. I see it as an agency that we need to be able to support and provide not just support, but transparency and accountability to ensure all children are learning how to read.
So, I love the idea about moving the office to Milwaukee. What would you do with MPS? I mean, give me some thoughts.
Yeah, so right away, you know, there is a new, as everyone knows, there's a new superintendent. So, you know, supporting her, but also making sure things are transparent and there's accountability there. She has asked for accountability. So I'll make sure that we have a team here who can go into the classrooms and support our teachers. You know, we know that 30 years ago, we stopped teaching teachers how to teach phonics. We went with this whole balanced literacy approach for way too long, as we could see that our reading across our country has gone down. Our children can't read. So we know that phonics works. We need to make sure that our colleges are teaching our teachers how to teach well, and then making sure that, you know, the teachers who are out in the field now who want our children to read are getting the support they need. So I will have a team here supporting on the ground, making sure that our teachers and school leaders are getting the support they need to ensure that our children are learning how to read. We have to, like, illiteracy is the true enemy here. There's all these politics and all this stuff being thrown around. We have got to get back to, we need all of our children reading so that we can have a successful community.
You've had some leadership positions before. Describe your leadership style. How do you approach, if you won this election, how would you approach being a leader of our education in the state of Wisconsin?
Yeah, I will put kids first. That is always what I'm talking about, and making sure that we have transparency. Like, we have to be brutally honest about where we're at, not covering up where we're at, but where are we at with our children? So I promise there will be transparency. It'll be easy to find the information, because we need the information for our schools, for our parents, our school boards. Right now, if you go to DPI's website, it's very difficult to find anything. But there are examples across the country on where they are, you know, making sure information is readily available. So as soon as we have that information, then we can come up with a plan on how, very clear goals on how we're going to ensure that across Wisconsin, in MPS, in Milwaukee, that there's a clear plan to ensure that all of our children are learning, and that the schools and the school boards and parents have all the information they need to make those decisions too.
Brittany Kinzer joining us on 620 WTMJ Political Power Hour. When I'm thinking about this race, I think it's close, but I'm always curious, when you look at your opponent in this race, if you had a chance, and I don't believe you're doing a debate, and that would probably be scheduled already. If you did a debate, what would you say directly to Jill Underly about her work?
I would say to her, lowering the standards to cover up the reality of our situation was wrong. We should not have lowered the standards. We need to make sure we keep them high for our children, and making sure that we are providing our educators with the resources and training they need to make sure we're supporting our students. It was also wrong to not be transparent with the Milwaukee voters last year when they were voting on a referendum, when she did not release the information about MPS's financial audits. She should have made sure everyone had that information so voters could have made their vote with the best information possible. So making sure that we are putting our children first and not politics. We need to make sure we're putting kids first.
You mentioned that referendum. Where do you fall on funding? Is the number that comes from the state the right number? Is it too high, too low? What do you think?
So one thing that everyone in Wisconsin education agrees on is like our funding system is broken and in need of an upgrade. I have traveled to, I think, 41 different counties now, and everyone has asked me to please be a leader in that. So schools are operating with limited resources and taxpayers are tired of the referendums, right? And I hear, like I said, I hear this all the time as I travel the state. And this is not a new issue. So Wisconsin's funding formula needs to be modernized. And I can't think of one person that favors it. But you know, former superintendents that haven't been able to work with the legislature or the governor and schools and other stakeholders to get it done. And that's how I'm different. My opponent has had 4 years to get this sorted out with the former DPI superintendent in the governor's office, and she hasn't tried. And I watched as Milwaukee leaders like Mayor Johnson and County Executive Crawley have worked across the aisle, attended meetings with Republican legislators, the governor, and all other stakeholders. And they modernized the shared revenue formula that hasn't been changed for decades. And I want to bring that collaborative spirit, dedication, and diplomacy to DPI. And I want to be in that room when those conversations about modernizing our funding formula happens. Jill Underley right now doesn't meet with the legislators. She doesn't go to the hearings. And she can't get things done if she's not meeting with everyone and being there. And I'm not running to defend like the status quo. And so I want to make sure that we're able to modernize that funding formula so all of our schools can get what they need.
Brittany Kinzer, I appreciate you taking the time to meet the listeners and to answer my questions. Let's talk down the line.
Okay, thank you so much for having me, and thank you to your listeners.
Absolutely. Brittany Kinzer, candidate for Superintendent Department of Public Instruction in April's election. All right, we take a break here. Lots to get done before the end of the hour. Then, of course, Jeff Sherman's taking over, and we got the news as well. 620 WTMJ. Thanks to my guests on the program today, C.J. Safer, Brittany Kinzer, C.J., the president of the Institute for Reforming Government, who's a great guest and a smart guy, and Brittany Kinzer, who I had not met before, and I still haven't met her. I've talked to her on the phone now, a candidate for the superintendent position, Department of Public Instruction. Look, I read that quote from her that I had read in one of her bios or on her campaign website, and this is something that I think we're going to talk about more with some educational scholars and experts. If you can't get kids to graduate, and I understand you want high school and, you know, post-college to be, or pre-college to be fascinating and relevant and fun and interesting and all that stuff, but if you can't get the kids to understand the basic things about math and science and reading, I guess what good is the rest of it? And I know that seems harsh to some people. I got a lot of feedback on my comment that I made on Spanning the State on Friday about that. Oh, my goodness. That's revolutionary. Getting rid of all the extra classes that kids can take. Like, for me, it was personal typing, which, I'll be honest, one of the best classes I ever took. It taught me how to use all my fingers on both hands to type, with a skill I still utilize every day. But I also got the grades in all the regular classes. And I would just like to see someone in education, whether it's a superintendent of public instruction, school board members, presidents, district staff and administration, acknowledge that maybe what ails us is this idea that we have to be so diverse in our curriculum that we sort of have wandered away from what is really, really important. That's not controversial. That's just basic. And again, I'll put the carrot out there. If you do well in those classes, then you can get access to all these other classes. That's not unfair. That's rewarding kids that actually want to do the work. And I've also said this, not recently, but if some kids don't choose the basic classroom model that public education or even private education provides, then maybe that's another alternative that we need to be looking at. Everything from work camps to apprenticeships to something that develops a skill set that those young people can use to enhance their lives and have a quality of life they won't have if they don't get a high school diploma. And until someone is brave enough to do that, we're going to be talking about the same things over and over again. We're going to be railing about MPS underperforming unless somebody really wants to big and bold this thing and actually do something about it. That's not controversial. I don't even think it need a lot of courage. Set a new baseline. Start with the basics. And see what happens with the kids who are, let's be honest, going to be so important in the next generations to lead this country to whatever greatness we're going to have. Take another quick break. 620 WTMJ.
I did it
Absolutely. I can just sit and listen to this. I could play this out.
To say the things.
I don't know what it is about this song, but my attitude improves. My energy goes up. I could get out of this chair. I could go lead an education revolt in the state of Wisconsin, to go back to what I was just talking about. And thanks for the nice text, by the way. A lot of people agreeing with me. Maybe it's time to return to basics. That's my way. And why not test it out? All of this time and energy and ridiculous argument about education, when maybe, it's hard to speak over this, maybe we just need to focus.
Yes, it was my way.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. News is next.